Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Bayonne, New Jersey, and earned a degree in marketing from Jersey City State College. Starting as a front desk agent at a Sheraton hotel, he held most every senior role in the hotel management industry. For 9 years, he was the associate director of development for the University of Notre Dame. And since 2017, he's been a Hollywood movie producer. His name, Joe Gelchin, and we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Joe Gelchin, who's the co-producer of the movie The Secret, Dare to Dream. Joe, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Can we go back to Bayonne, New Jersey?
We sure can.
Talk about your mom and dad, your childhood.
It was a great childhood. I was born and raised, like I said, in Bayonne. It's a real blue-collar town. One of seven children. Very Irish Catholic family. Also living with the seven children was my grandmother, who happened to be blind, who was just a wonderful, wonderful woman. So we were 10 of us in that house on 46th Street. And I couldn't have asked for a better childhood. I mean, it wasn't always easy. You know, we just didn't know what we didn't have because everyone was in basically the same boat. Dads got up, went to work. And mom stayed home and tended to the large families. And we were a typical large family at that time.
Like everybody else, you had one bathroom with the 10 people. And what, Joe, what's the biggest thing you learned from mom? What's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
Wow, it's a beautiful question, Jack. From my mom, the greatest thing that she ever provided to me, and I think to all of us, was the gift of prayer. She, I remember as a young age, I still remember the prayers I said with her when I can't even remember the age. I was so small, but it carried with me my entire life. So that was the greatest gift. And there were many of them, but it was the gift of prayer. She taught me how to talk to God, just like I'm speaking to you right now. And I'll carry that. I have carried it my entire life. And as for my dad, he was a beautiful, beautiful, holy man. He's truly my hero in life. His humility, he was just a simple, beautiful man who loved his wife, his children, and his God, and his country. He served his country in World War II and in Korea. And so I'm so thankful for that. Just great gifts and blessings in my life.
While you're in college, you worked at the front desk at the Sheraton Newark Airport Hotel. And in that role, you were the director of first impressions. What was that job like?
You know, front desk clerk, you know, Jack, as I ascended over the years, I remember giving a speech when I was named Senior Vice President of Sheraton Hotels and the brand worldwide. I remember I said then, and I'll say it now, is I'm a front desk clerk at heart. They, you know, they even changed the names. You alluded to first impressions, their guest service agents. But I was always a front desk clerk, and I think I still am at heart. I love just meeting people. You never know who was going to come through that door from all walks of life. And I just like that interaction and hearing a little bit about them other than just to tell them where their room was. Great learning experience. And I treasure the time that I was a front desk clerk.
All right. We jump a little bit ahead. You're married to Suzanne. She's expecting your first child. You've got a great job at Starwood Hotels. And one day you come home and tell her, honey, I'm going to quit the job. I'm going to go work the trucking docks in Bayonne, New Jersey, which you did for 7 years. Joe, were you nuts? Why'd you do that?
No, I wasn't nuts. You know, Jack,
What did your mother-in-law tell you?
maybe she thought I was nuts. You know, there was another special lady, by the way, as well. But you know, Jack, at that time, the hotel business was rough, like any business. And, you know, we were working 6-7 days a week. And I was on a rapid rise. I was doing really well at a very young age. But when Suzanne said we were expecting our first child, something clicked. And I think it was God whispering to me to say, hey, as much as you're getting ahead in this business, I have another plan for you for the next phase of your life. And that was the phase of fatherhood. And so I did. I resigned. I took a job at a place called IMTT, International Tank Terminals, which was an oil storage facility in Bayonne. And I was fortunate enough to get a job there and work shift work for most of the 7 years. But during that process, you know, we had two children, our son Matthew, and then followed by Ryan 15 months later. I never knew how long I'd be there. I just knew that I needed to be close to home when our children were born. And that's why I think, you know, our Lord led me there to be around my wife and be around the kids. And I wouldn't trade those years for any years that I've had my entire career.
We're talking to Joe Jeltsin. When we come back, we're going to ask him about how it was he worked for Mayor Rudy Giuliani in 94 through 96. And I'm Jack Brasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Crisula, and we're Joe Jeltsin. All right, after 7 years, you leave the dock business, and you decide to go work for Mayor Rudy Giuliani in the Gracie Mansion. Tell us about that episode.
That was an episode, Jack. So I'm sitting on the docks one day, and I get a call from a dear friend of mine who I had worked with in the hotel business. His name was George Green, and he called me up and he said, hey, listen, do you want to apply for a job you'll never get? And I said, George, what is that? And he said, there's a new mayor who's been a mayor-elect, Mayor Rudy Giuliani in New York City, and he needs an administrator for Gracie Mansion. And I said, well, George, you're right. That's a job I will not get. And you haven't seen me lately, George. I'm sitting here in work boots, a hard hat, and 6 Oil on me. I said, it's not like it was years ago. I went that suit and tie on. And he said, listen, throw your name in the hat and just see what happens. So I did. And he introduced me to someone else. And I had my first interview. I don't think I had a suit any longer at that time, Jack. I had to go get a new suit and went on my interview. And I just wanted to meet him. I had heard so much about him. I had listened to him on TV, and I thought he was a really intriguing man. And I thought he had a daunting challenge in front of him of fixing that city, which at that time was pretty broke. And so I went on the first interview and ended up being 5, 6, 7 interviews. It was a long process. But as I was getting closer, I said, wow, I might have a shot at this. And lo and behold, I did get hired as the executive administrator for Gracie Mansion and spent the next year and a half working right out of Gracie Mansion. And it was a beautiful, wonderful experience. I only stayed a short time on my last interview, little tidbit here, when I knew that they wanted me. It was interesting. I had that feeling they wanted me, and I I said, well, listen here, if I do accept, I can only stay a short while. And I think they were a little perplexed. Like, what do you mean a little while? Everyone's dying to work here with a new mayor, the excitement. But I told them that because I knew it was true. I was being guided from the docks to there. And I think they thought I was fooling, but I wasn't. I just knew it would be a short term. I'm not a politician. I'm not a fan of that whole process. And I wasn't handled as one. I was there to administer. And I have some organizational skills that I think I was able to utilize there. And that's what they wanted. So I accepted that job and I stayed for a year and a half. And true to my word, I knew it was time to leave. And then from there, I segued back into the hotel business. But I think it was God's hand guiding the process the entire time.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Rudy Giuliani?
You know, Rudy was a dedicated, smart man. I loved his work ethic and his no-nonsense approach. He would get up early in the morning. I mean, you know, 4:30, 4:45, have his Raisin Bran cereal, and he would have that at the kitchen table, and he was ready to go early, and then come home who knows what hours late at night, could be midnight. And he had such stamina, dedication, and love for New York City. And I always admired that with Rudy through the good times and bad. His love was genuine for the city of New York and what he felt he was called to do. And I took a lot away from that at that time.
So then you went back into the hotel business, and from 2002 to 2008, you were Senior Vice President of Operations at Starwood Hotels and Resorts Worldwide, 850 properties, 145,000 employees. Talk about that chapter.
Well, you know, so when I left Rudy in 95 and went back, and I had a few other roles that led me to that Senior Vice President's role. Prior to that, it was a daunting challenge. I will tell you this, Jack, the higher I went in my standings or elevation within the organization, to be candid with you, the less I enjoyed it. I loved working with the people, with the staff, with the hotels. I loved being a general manager. I loved the teams we built. You had the ability to really affect people and their lives, whether it be the houseman who set up for banquets and rolled those tables in with the chefs and the cooks in the kitchen, the line cooks, or the room attendants who worked so hard cleaning those rooms, and the doormen who greeted people, and the bagmen, the bellmen. I loved that. And I found it fascinating to figure out ways to generate revenue and to flow to the bottom line for the hotel. So it was a business, but it was we treated it like a family business. And I'm always going to be grateful to Starwood for allowing me to treat that as a family-run business where people came first and good things came of that. But it was a great, great run. I loved it. And it's funny, I've never had a job I didn't like, Jack, to be honest with you. I've loved my career, my life, and everything in between.
We're talking to Joe Gelchin, who's gone from being known as South Bend, Indiana Joe, to now Hollywood Joe. So let's go to the South Bend days, 2008, 2017. You're the Associate Director of Development for the University of Notre Dame. A lot of zeros in that job. How'd you ever get that job?
I'm still figuring that out, Jack.
Did you promise to give them $100 million? Is that what you...
That would have been a miscalculation on their part. What a great institution, Notre Dame. I still live down the block from the university and cherish my time there. What happened there was, you know, we had a son, Matt, who we had no affiliation, by the way, with Notre Dame, other than we were Irish Catholic and rooted for them my entire life. But our eldest son, Matt, applied to Notre Dame and was accepted to Notre Dame and went to Notre Dame. And through that process, we started visiting Notre Dame a lot and taking in football games and things like that. And then one day, Suzanne and I just said, hey, let's build a home out here. We love the community. We love the school. We loved everything about it. So we did. We just built a home out here. And I knew, again, that nudging feeling was coming about, even though I was having some great success within Sheraton and Starwood, that time was coming for me to leave. God's nudging. And so I resigned from Starwood and moved out here. I did not have a job, although we built that home. And lo and behold, Notre Dame called and said, hey, we understand you've built a home here. Would you consider coming and chat with us about an opportunity we have? And I did. And lo and behold, I ended up working there for almost 10 years. And it was wonderful. I can't say enough about the integrity of the university, the leadership there, and the student body and families that it attracts. And it's rooted in faith. And that was very appealing to me and had a great run. And to this day, I'm a big, big fan and loyal fan of Notre Dame.
Even though you never worked for him, the late great Father Ted Hesburgh, legendary, what made him so special, Joe?
I think, again, his leadership and conviction to doing what's right. Although I didn't work for him, anyone who was associated with Notre Dame got to know, well, fortunately, I got to know him, not to the extent so many others did, but in that my time with him and then just being around him on campus, you saw his the power of Ted, of himself. And I think it was instilled in his belief that he carried the Holy Spirit with him. He was a man that was truly guided by that Spirit, and it was evident in the way he spoke, the way he carried himself. If he walked into a room, you knew he arrived with no words exchanged. And I found that so attractive and so appealing. And I was just grateful that I had the opportunity to be on the same campus while Father Ted was there.
We're talking to Joe Gelchin. When we come back, we're going to talk to him about in 2017, he wakes up one day and decides, I think I'll become a Hollywood movie producer. My goodness. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Joe Gelchin. Joe, 2017, you wake up one day, you tell Suzanne, honey, I think I'm going to become a Hollywood movie producer. The mother-in-law had to go nuts over that one. Why and how?
Wow. Yeah. Why and how? Someday I'll be told why. The how is, it started with a simple little bet with my son. He said to me, Dad, hey, what are you going to do when you're done working at Notre Dame? Now, I never told him I planned on leaving Notre Dame, but he must have sensed something in me from my previous moves and career. And I said, you know what, Ryan? I think I'm going to get myself a part in a movie. And he looked at me kind of awkwardly and I said, no, I'm serious. I'm going to get myself in a movie. It's going to have to be a speaking part, and it's going to have well-known actors in it. And that's my next move. And he kind of like laughed. He said, I'm trying to be serious. I said, no, I'm going to be. I said, I want to do, and I always did for some reason. It was a crazy little quirky thing. And so I set out on that mission on our little gentleman's bet. And I think I did it, Jack, to prove that anything is possible, not to coin off of your show's name, but I really did. I wanted him and my other children to know that if you set your mind to something, it can be accomplished. So through that, I just started digging and calling, and I had a friend who knew someone, and lo and behold, I got myself a small part in a movie with Bruce Willis, which led to another movie with small part with Sylvester Stallone, and then another one back with Bruce Willis, and then another one with John Travolta. So I had all these small parts, but through that process, I said, wow, I think I can make a movie. I think I could produce this. I think I could put it together. I think I could finance it. And I think I could create a model that might be a little better than what they have now. And there was also a desire to put out a different type of movie, movies that resonated with families, that maybe had a message of goodness, of hope, and that are uplifting as opposed to shoot 'em up, banging 'em up, action-filled heroes. And so I set out on that journey through that simple little bet, and it all came to fruition.
Okay, it's one thing to try to climb a mountain. You know, you decide, I'm going to be a producer. But then you decide to name the company Tri-G Films, which stands for Total Reliance in God. You talk about an oxymoron in Hollywood. Why?
That's a real easy one. I deferred the naming of my company to my much better half, my wife, Suzanne. She was so supportive of me, you know, jumping off this cliff, so to speak, with no safety nets, in trying my hand at this business. And I said to her, honey, what should we name the company? And she goes, well, let me think about it, Joe. So I came home one afternoon and she goes, I think I have it. And she had all drawn out this name and this logo with this small tri-G with a dash and in a triangle, this big G. And I said, so what does it stand for? I thought it was something about the three G's or our three children, because we have three and the three Gelchins. And I said that to her and she goes, well, that's part of it, Joe. But the real part is it's total reliance in God. And at that moment, I would think I was frozen in looking at her and knew how right she was. And that was the beginning of Tri-G Films. And it was so appropriate. We've put our whole faith in our life has been built around God and our children. And so I owe that to my wife. I can't take any credit for it. And I'm just thankful she did come up with the appropriate name for us.
Another female angel that God sent you was a lady who in 2006 wrote a book that was on the New York Times bestseller list for 192 weeks. It sold 34 million copies. Her name is Rhonda Byrne. What was the name of the book, and what did you do with that book?
The name of the book was The Secret. It was hugely popular. It was converted into 54 languages. Again, as you said, sold 34 million copies worldwide. I had actually never read the book. I had heard of it briefly, but what happened was I received a script, a screenplay that had been written after the book, and it was called The Secret. We happened to add Dare to Dream with it, but I read the script and absolutely fell in love with it. It was written in conjunction with Becca Brunstetter, who wrote for and produced the TV show This Is Us, and Andy Tennant, and one of his writing partners. And I was just taken back by the beauty of it, the power of it. Andy actually served as the director as well. Andy also directed Sweet Home Alabama, which I loved. And that was icing on the cake for me because I loved that movie. And there was something special about it. And I knew it the second I read it and said, I've got to make this movie. They had struggled with it for years, not being able to turn it into a movie. And we, by the grace of God, and a lot of people came together and we made the movie.
The Secret, Dare to Dream. And it just came out. You can rent the movie on DirecTV, Apple TV, Amazon Prime, most cable companies. You took two unknown actors Katie Holmes, Josh Lucas, and you made them stars, Joe. You made them stars.
Well, I
carried them, Joe.
Oh, yeah, it was all me, Jack. Katie Holmes, Josh Lucas, Jerry O'Connell, and Celia Weston were the adults in it, and they were just spectacular. You know, you hear so much about the Hollywood actors and actresses and their behavior, and all of it's not all that positive. Our experience with Katie and Josh and the others was just, it was moving. They were so polite and professional and nice and caring. And I'll carry that with me for a long, long time. I hope our future projects are as successful as this one, as we hope it will be. But the reward in getting to know them is profound. They're just wonderful people, and we're ecstatic to work with them.
I watched it the other day, and right at the start, in big banners, there is only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is. Please explain.
Yeah, I think, and I'm so happy we did start our movie with that on the screen. And Jack, for me in life, there's only two ways. There's to be direct and honest or to hide your feelings. That's what I believe. I think that's, and that's why we put it up there. I do believe all of us, our lives are connected. I believe that God has a plan for all of us and that each and every day is a miracle. And I live my life believing that. I just think that often we just don't see it, Jack. We tend to go through life, it's just another day because so many things get in our way. We have jobs to go to and families to take care of and lawns to mow and cars to get fixed and bills to pay. And we get so tied up in our daily activity that we forget to thank God for putting our feet on the ground and to starting our day. And so we started it with that saying because we believe it's true. And I live each day knowing it's a miracle and a gift.
We're talking to Joe Gelchin, and during the movie, there's a quote, "I'm open to the possibility that whatever happens, even the bad stuff, can lead to better things." And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible, a News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Rasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, Anything Is Possible. Anything is possible. 15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week because with God, anything is possible. Spohol. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And I have pretty good contacts out in Hollywood. And I did a little research, and I understand that the critics, the experts, love the movie. They're considering giving you a lifetime Oscar. What have the critics told you, Joe?
That is that's quite humorous, Jack. Thank you. The critics do not like our movie. They haven't fully embraced it. They On Rotten Tomatoes, for example, I think they have a whopping score of 33 approval rating out of 100. But you know, Jack, we didn't make it for the critics. I was actually told before we took our first shot on set that this is a movie that the critics are not going to like, and it'll never be critically acclaimed. And I knew that, and I am fine with that. We made this movie for people like you, for me, and the guy next door, and the woman across the street, and for those who have families and children who want to sit down and watch a movie where there's no violence, there's no nudity, there's no bad language, and it has a message. And our message is a message of hope, of positivity, and an uplifting spirit in that even when things seem bad, there's better days coming. And I just think it's so appropriate in the times that we face right now. And I think it's being embraced, Jack. As a matter of fact, I don't think I'll go by those statistics. As I said, the critics are giving it like a 33, 34 score. The audience scores are showing it to be anywhere from 85 to 89% approval rating and 4.5 to 5-star ratings. So we made this movie for the general public and audience, and we're happy that they are embracing it and enjoying it, because that's who it was made for.
If you thought that Sleepless in Seattle was terrific, you ain't seen nothing till you watch The Secret, Dare to Dream. You can rent it, DirecTV, Apple TV, Amazon Prime, most cable companies. Okay, you said it's a feel-good, positive thinking. Joe, let's be honest. Zig Ziglar, the greatest motivational speaker of our time, he's gone. Ernie Banks, my hero, you know, Let's Play 2, he's gone. Not today, Joe. Nobody's positive today. These are unprecedented times. Don't you agree?
I do agree that they're unprecedented times. These pandemics don't come along all that often, and the strife that we have in our country does not come along often. But you know, Jack, in the absence of hope, you only have despair. And I do believe fundamentally that there's more good people than bad people, and that at the heart of it, people want better for each other. And I think that our movie plays to that audience and to that emotion. You know, I've always said you can't fake real. It's just like when you meet someone, you either know if they're genuine or caring and loving just by shaking their hand and being in their presence. I think that's what this movie is, Jack. And I believe that people will rally around it, because there's a better day coming. And that's where faith comes in. I'm a believer. I will not be shaken in that faith. And that God put us all here for a purpose, and that we are going to be we're going to have a better tomorrow than we had yesterday and the day after and the day after. Things will get better, Jack.
We're talking to Joe Gelchin, the co-producer of the movie, The Secret, Dare to Dream. If there's a listener who said, I don't have hope today, Joe, I hate today, I'm depressed, I'm thinking about ending it, what do you say to that person tonight?
I think they should call me, Jack, or email me. And I say that, it's pretty dangerous saying that on a big show like this, but I do. I think we are all called to help one another. So if you're feeling despair, you're feeling down, or there's troubles in your life, which we all have, I think the message is you're not alone. Everyone goes through that at some point in their life. Reach out to someone you least expect to help you. It could be your neighbor, the person next door, someone from the grocery store, anyone, but talk to someone about it and find a positive source in your life. You know, you've got to grab on to the things. I know in my life, Jack, listen, nothing's a bed of roses for any of us. And we all have challenges that we're going to face. For me, I grabbed onto my wife and my children and would look to them for strength. That and my faith. I pray. And I think the message is to sit back in some private time by yourself and ask God, who made us all, to be with you, to guide you and protect you. And you'll feel a presence, his presence, come over. Like Father Ted, as we talked, come Holy Spirit, to coin his famous phrase. And the Holy Spirit will come and guide you. He's guided me my entire life, Jack. And I think he's there not just for Joe Gelchin, he's there for everybody.
In these unprecedented times, families are split apart, friends, company workers, the two sides, the polarization, the hatred. Joe, what can I do to make a difference?
I think don't join in the trap that's been set for us, Jack. And that trap is we've become a nation, not to critique our country, but I'm part of it. So, but I think what's happened is we just attack each other. So we label each other, oh, that side believes in this, A, B, C, D, whatever that may be. And immediately we say they're wrong. And it goes both ways. And so all we're doing is throwing stones at each other, as opposed to sitting back and listening and trying to understand where that other party's coming from. And there's a lack of understanding. And once that, so there's no real communication anymore. You know, Jack, look at your life, because I look at mine. I have such a diversified background of friends from in both their color of their skin and in their religious beliefs. And if I can be that way, all of us can be that way. But I do know you don't get anything by criticizing one another, because we have a different opinion on any given topic. So we have to start listening and being more accepting of others with different views than we have.
Joe Gelchin, you are a shining example of the title of this program, With God, Anything is Possible. Keep up the great, great work.
God bless you, Jack. Thank you so much.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom.